A woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. Immediately, the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately, Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Hearing this passage about the woman with the hemorrhage, one can truly feel her pain. She's been suffering for 12 years, seen all the doctors, drained her bank account, and yet she's worse. It's also likely that because of her condition, she was kept on the margins of society and deemed unclean. She hides in the crowd and aims only to sneakily touch Jesus' cloak. She knows the risk she's taking in touching anyone, let alone Jesus. Nevertheless, she propels herself from the margins. Chronic illness can make you desperate, and you'll do or try just about anything to be well. How do I know? Well, I spent most of the last 8 years hiding my own illness. It's not one that's pleasant to talk about. I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis in 2010. It's a gastrointestinal disease for which there is no known cause and no known cure. The disease seeks to rob you of your dignity through embarrassing symptoms, painful and humiliating procedures, and the inability to eat and live the way you used to. It can become a prison, keeping you from socializing normally and bowing out of gatherings when your symptoms are uncontrollable. Actually, as I was preparing this message, I saw a commercial on TV for a new medication for people with Crohn's disease. And in the commercial, the people are walking through their everyday lives, but behind them is a shadow with the words of their symptoms, like pain and bloating. And I thought, that really hits the nail on the head, you know, because you have this shadow that follows you everywhere. Most people don't notice it, but you know it's there. And that's what it's like to have a condition like this. Now, my case is one that's failed to respond to many standard treatment options. Since diagnosis, my life has been a revolving door of specialists, tests, and medications, which have helped, but nonetheless are better than the alternative, which is to do nothing. I know I'm not alone. Silent diseases surround us, and many of us have one or know someone who's fighting a silent battle. Mental health issues, anxiety, depression, infertility, genetic conditions, sleep disorders, addiction struggles, the list is long. People with these afflictions look just fine to the rest of the world, so sometimes when they try to voice their struggles, they're met with apathy. Or they just feel like they're making the other person uncomfortable by talking about their problem. They quickly learn it's just easier to keep quiet. The loneliness of the illness plus the physical ramifications are enough to make one lose all hope. But the story of this woman has always given me renewed confidence. When we walk into the story, we enter at a point where Jesus has already established his healing ministry. He's developed such a following that the crowd is pressing in on all sides to him. I can imagine this mob all squeezing together and jabbing elbows, shouting to get Jesus' attention. They've heard or maybe even seen what he can do with the sick, and they're all hoping for their own miracle that day. This woman is just one of many. It would have been easy for Jesus to just ignore her touch, ignore the healing, and keep moving through the crowd. Her story could end right there. So why then, in this chaos, does Jesus stop dead when he realizes that she's touched him? Even his disciples are taken aback by the absurdity of his question, "Who touched me?" They're like, "Hello, do you see how many people are here? There's lots of people touching you." Nonetheless, Jesus calls her out. "For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will be well." What makes this woman's touch different from the rest is that it's her faith. Jesus, being Jesus, knows this, but he also wants the crowd to know this. Jesus isn't singling this woman out to embarrass her any further over her condition. He's showing the power of her faith to the vast crowd surrounding them. We believe in a Savior who hears and feels our prayers for faith when they are prayed in faith. This woman shows us that no matter how long you've suffered, and no matter how far on the margins you think you exist, you can come in faith to Jesus for healing, and he will feel that faith in your prayer. But Nicole, you might say, it's easy for this lady. She got her healing. I've prayed in faith for years, and I'm still sick. Well, that's the sticky part about faith, the believing before the receiving. This woman believed she would be healed, but didn't know when it would happen or how. It's the same for us. We can continue our prayers for healing in faith, knowing that they are heard by our loving God, and believing we will receive it, the healing, in God's will. Maybe that's in this lifetime. Maybe it's not. But we do know that our redemptive God has promised that each and every one of us will be restored to wholeness after this life. God says, "Behold, I make all things new." He will dry our tears and halt our pain, and we must stand on that promise. We're coming up on a season of Advent, a time when we are reminded of the hopeful anticipation of our Savior's arrival. So too, we can approach our healing with that hopeful anticipation. Now, not only did Jesus call out this woman to show her great faith to the crowd, but I also think he wanted the truth of her struggle to come to light. Even in fear and trembling, she has the courage to come forth and tell Jesus the whole truth. You see, when we combine truth about our condition with our faith, we create a powerful testimony. Truth, even when it's ugly or embarrassing or uncomfortable, always takes on new life when it comes into the light. When we hide our struggles or our illnesses, they can control us. But bringing our story into the light and sharing it with others takes that power away. Truth brought to light halts the ability of the illness's secrecy to control us. I hid my own problems for many years. I usually look fine on the outside, so it's a bit of a privilege to even hide the disease to begin with. But after a particularly bad flare-up last summer of my condition, I decided I wasn't going to hide any longer. And when I began to share what I was going through with others, something very interesting happened. I was flooded with the Me Too stories. Tales of struggles with mental health, eating disorders, conditions like my own, addiction problems, or people struggle with family members fighting these battles. I learned that we must come clean and tell Jesus the whole truth of what's going on. And when we allow others to see our truth, we can bring comfort, hope, and encouragement to those who also struggle silently. We can't always fix these diseases, but we can lighten the load by helping each other carry the pain. Not only can we create a network of support, but we can set an example of a faith-filled life. Once we move from being the person who looks fine on the outside to someone who is completely transparent about their struggle and yet still lives an obedient life in Christ, we become mighty witnesses for Jesus. Now your testimony can open up doors for faith conversations. You might have the chance to share the goodness of God with someone who's never heard it, or even rekindle a hope in someone who's lost that and turned away from God because of their own struggle. When we're seen loving the unlovely, serving through our pain, praising God through our storm, and faithfully hoping for our healing, we fully shift the power dynamic back from the darkness of disease and into the light of truth, the light of Jesus. When we combine truth about our condition with our faith, we create a powerful testimony. If today you can relate to this woman, and you too are burdened under a hidden condition, I encourage you to consider sharing. It can be as simple as starting with a trusted friend. If someone you know is struggling, you can encourage them to share to you. The more I shared my own story, the easier it became, and the more I realized I wasn't alone. And as you grow in this ability to share truth, you can continue to pray for your healing and faith, knowing that Jesus can feel you touching his cloak. Letting others see both our transparency and our faith in Jesus is an empowering combination that will transform your life and the lives of those around you. Let us pray. Father, we're grateful today for the story of this woman. We're grateful for her bravery and for her courage and for the hope that she gives us through her story. Lord, we pray for everybody that struggles with these conditions, whether they have a voice to talk about it or not. Allow your healing hand to touch them. Allow your heart to comfort them and them to feel your love. Allow them to speak up and be brave and share. Give them hope and encouragement through their struggles and know that you can hear them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Christ, we have a God who put on flesh, who came and lived among us, who healed the sick, who spent time with those on the margins, who offers us today the promise of healing, promise of hope, the promise of new life. So we remember how on that last night when Jesus was with his disciples, how he took bread, how he gave thanks to God, now he broke bread, and he gave it to his disciples. He said, "And take this and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples. He said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, and it's poured out for you and for many, so that you all might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. God of healing and hope, we ask that you might now pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. We ask that they might be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Lord, make us one with one another and one in ministry to all the world, to be people who share stories, people who listen to stories, people who proclaim Christ to the world. Amen. Here in the United Methodist Church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion this evening by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it in the cup and then receive both elements at the same time. We have a gluten-free option available if you prefer that. Go forth now to experience the God who heals, to experience the God who saves, to experience the God who gives hope. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.